The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Broadcasting. I had your attention. It's me, the godfather of internet radio. The show gets a lot of feedback, that's for sure. Do those sound like fake laughs? Because they were real. That's good. That's real. That's correct. The Bard of Broadcasting, Godfather of Internet Radio. Man without a plan. It's me, Frank Cotolo. Man's name is doing the title of the show. Sure, we're here with all of you on what is at live, not at lifelike, the evening of Thanksgiving in America and other places in the world that are celebrating and thanking and whatever. Stay with us. There's bound to be something you'll find interesting. I hate that word. Wake up! It's night! Night! Who said it first? Who said ignorance is bliss? First of all, I love the word bliss. Bliss, it's really not onomatopoeic, but in a sense it may be. Bliss. It's a pinnacle, it's a peak, it's a top of the pleasure pyramid. Is there a pleasure pyramid? I think so. Because there's got to be a point of complete pleasure. And you build to it, just like a pineapple, which I'm not by pineapple, I mean pyramid. Bliss. I think it's because of the S's at the end. Does that suppose sizzle? Does sizzle an S make for some kind of pleasure? In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, in America, and I think other countries, maybe not in England, because in Great Britain, and I, you know, we have a lot of wonderful people listen to us in Great Britain, and when they listen live, it's very early in the morning, which is good because that's when I do my best work. Work? Oh, I love making myself laugh, because it's honest if I make myself laugh. If I just do it and act it, it's not. But our friends in Great Britain, of course, in the middle of the night or the early morning, the beginning of the early morning, the middle of the night is the beginning of the early morning. They should not be celebrating today because they lost people. Excuse me. They lost people. People are saying, oh, he's drinking again. You hear him hiccup? He's drinking. That's not drinking. And believe it or not, that's chunky corn, chicken corn soup with added chicken. It's not chunky enough for me, friends. I have to put more chicken in the chunky chicken chowder, corn and potato, whatever. The people in England, Great Britain, all around there, of course, lost people. If the people did not escape. See, this is bad spawns good. This is from Chaos Comes Order. If the British world at that time wasn't so repressive, then the pilgrims, and I know that pilgrims, they weren't pilgrims over there. They had to be, when they came here, they were pilgrims. These religious people who were repressed because they wanted to do what they wanted to do and pray and stuff. And because the British government, the history of the world? And because the British government wanted people to believe only what they believed, which was white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. And there were other little tribes of people like pilgrims who weren't pilgrims until they got here because then became pilgrims. You can't be a pilgrim unless you go somewhere and pill, I guess, as the case may be. So, but if they weren't repressed, they couldn't come here and be free and then celebrate the freedom, make friends with the Indians who said, look, we got them corn, which is, I'm sure they didn't talk like that, but in the old movies they did. And so the corn, the harvest, the great stuff that, I mean, Indians didn't just grow corn, right? Cause they couldn't have, and how could Indians, first of all, they were pissed because people were calling them Indians. And they said, they're not from India. They didn't even, well, you know what? They didn't even know what was Indian. They called themselves by the names of their tribes. Comanche, Apache, and I don't even know if those Iroquois. I don't even know if those particular tribes existed when the pilgrims came here, probably. Because they were generations and generations of Native Americans who then were Indians. Because the stupid Columbus, leave it to an Italian to screw up a one-car funeral. But here comes, but we're not even getting into Columbus. So, but because they were repressed, these people, they came here, a lot of them came to Pennsylvania. So they were Germans, and they were they repressed in Germany too? That's a good question. And I don't know the answer to that one, but most of the British, people, the British government said, you're not gonna do this, here. So they went and they came to the new world that was America. They made friends with the Indians. Hey, look, the Indians have fields of food and they have all these birds flying around. Well, actually not flying because a turkey cannot fly. A turkey, as we know, and I think we know, I don't think I was taught this in air, but they're stupid. They're really stupid. Many turkeys, you don't have to cut their heads off. You just wait till it rains. And the turkey looks up in the air and drowns because it rains real hard and the turkey's not smart enough to go, there's too much water going into my lungs, because a turkey doesn't even know it has lungs. A turkey just walks around and does whatever bird brains do because it's a bird. But it can't fly. It's not, turkeys can't really fly. Now, wild turkeys, I told the story once of the wild turkeys that attacked me while I was delivering newspapers. That's an honest laugh. Look, I'm not going to tell you about the honest laughs. You be the judge. Judge me. But, so the point is that in America, based on the repression of Great Britain, when it comes to religious religious suppression. Is it repression and suppression the same thing? That's why the Americans celebrate Thanksgiving, because the pilgrims, who were now pilgrims, they were probably as pissed as the Indians being called Indians. Don't call me pilgrim. And the Indians go, don't call me Indian. I'm not Indian. I don't even know where there's India. I'm like a turkey. I don't even know I have lungs. So they said, let's all get together. And instead of killing one another, why don't we have a big meal? Because let me tell you something about food, that if you don't know this, it plays an essential role as a symbol of life in many, many cultures. And I'll tell you, talk about stupid Italians, or just Italians. And I could say this because I am one by blood, by bequeathing of the blood. Can you bequeath blood? Yeah, but you know what I mean. I inherited. Inherit, that's it. It's a legacy. Now, let me tell you something. And I think Jewish people do this too. And I know a lot of modern Anglo-Saxons. You know, maybe everybody does this. I don't know. But after a funeral of a loved one, the family of the deceased eats. This is the first thing they do. They all get together, whether they're crying or not crying because they liked him or her or didn't like him or her, whatever. It was a tragedy or it was expected or it was natural causes. It's all still death. And so, right, it's true. So no matter how tragic, no matter how happy it might be, because a lot of people, you know, we hated that bastard, you know, whatever. The point is, not everyone, I'm sure they only invite a certain amount of people, but the family, everyone in the family, maybe the extended family, goes out to eat. Usually restaurants, or they go back to the house. Not the restaurants don't go back to, or the family and the extended family go back to a house where, people eat. You know what it is? Is it my ears? Hold on there. Maybe if I do that, I get a little bit. Yes, there's a little bit. That's a little better for me. My tinnitus is interrupting the treble of the microphone. So I had to put up that a little bit more. Okay, so they all go back and they eat a lot. Massive portions of food for everybody. So he or she is dead. Let's eat is pretty much the thing. So the pilgrims, when they said, after they said, look, we won't call you Indians, you don't call us pilgrims. I'm a difficult historian. That's why you're hearing it this way. They said, look, let's eat and celebrate on this day, because now it's getting cold. We have shelter because they built it, and I'm sure the Indians helped them build it, you know, and we have clothing. And we have each other, and we're free from those Brits who, you know, don't let us pray and whatever. And you guys are pretty darn nice, you know, Indian guys, and you're colorful. God knows that if you put a pilgrim next to an American Indian at that time, you're going to see a colorful American. And that's the Indian. The pilgrims, you know, black and white, you know. But they got together and had big tables and all the people in that tribe. And they said, don't let's, instead of shooting arrows, let's just cut turkeys. Those dumb animals, the dumb birds. And I don't know if they even called them birds because they had wings, but they didn't flap around. They didn't fly. So let's take those people, the stupid birds, and you and I and all the tribe and the family sit down and eat, because that is the great regeneration. I mean, you can eat, you're alive. Okay, regardless of what you see on Z Nation or World War Z or The Walking Dead. Eating means you're alive. The dead don't eat, which happens to be the name of my new book, The Dead Don't Eat by Frank Attolo. And you'll be seeing that out soon as they draw a cover, paint a cover. Take a picture of a cover or whatever it might be. So on this particular day in November of now, I mean, but every and is called Thanksgiving. They all gave thanks. They gave thanks for what they had, for who they were with, the when to eat, for the food they had, for the clothing they had, the shelter they had, and that was it. And they said, you know, thank you. And the Indians, or the Native Americans, I don't know what they call the Cherokees or the Apaches or whoever that tribe consisted of those people, whatever. What a sentence. Wait, for a transcript of this show, please send $4 an hour to, yeah, because it would take, it's stupid to think you would have a transcript of this show. But here's the deal. That was called Thanksgiving. And because they gave thanks, as opposed to calling Giving Thanks Day. Why didn't they do that? Who knows where this originated? I don't think it was a holiday, oddly enough, until way late in the United States. I believe if you look up on in your interweb and find at least two sources, because it might be wrong on Wikipedia, and it might have leaked out of WikiLeaks to the Pedia, you know, whatever the case might be, you will find out that it was very late that it became a holiday. It might have been President Roosevelt, President Truman, which means it's contemporary, at least to people like me. People like you, I don't know. I heard tonight on the evening news that the Americans who are partaking in warlike activities, helping the Iraqis to fight off ISIS in Iraq, those boys, those American boys who today celebrated, at least live here today, celebrated Thanksgiving, their first Thanksgiving away from home, no less their first Thanksgiving at war. Check this out, you time twaddlers, because this is what knocked me right off my chair, like I needed to be in it. And the kids fighting, the soldiers now, were not even alive when the big Iraq thing took place after 9/11 of what? That was 2001, right? So these, so 2015, 16, what are they? They had just been born. They were too young to remember, whatever. How about the first, no, since the first Iraqi war, which would be 90, what? 5, 3? I don't know. I don't remember. 92, whatever. That 88, that was it. Well, the first time, these kids weren't even alive. They have no idea. Now they're out there. And I guess the bulk of them did not sign up to be at war. Cause, but you know, this is what I mean, you know, that's why the sun also rises. Speaking of, biblical terms, right? Generation through generation through generation. And here we are now on this particular Giving of Thanks Day. Why Thanksgiving? Let's call it Thanksgiving. You know, that's like saying, let's say Mother's Day. Say Thanksgiving. So even Mother's Day would be Day for Mothers, right? Day of Mothers. We don't call it Day of Mothers. It's Day of Mothers. And of course, Day of Fathers for Father's Day. It's Thanksgiving. And that's the other thing. Some people put the emphasis on different. I'm not going to say right or wrong, but different parts of that word. And there are only, by the way, three parts to that word, Thanksgiving. But some people say Thanksgiving. 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 This is where I grew up. It's going to be Thanksgiving. Isn't next Thursday Thanksgiving? And then there are other people in other parts of the same country who say Thanksgiving. Well, I'll tell you next week, and I'm doing that voice like it's those people who have those accents. I don't know that. You see, that leads me to a whole bunch of things that drive me nuts. And I shouldn't get driven nuts. What I mean, I don't mean by they drive me nuts. I don't run around and just scream and yell about things that, I'm not like that. Gosh damn, my people. I'm doing my father now, who used to just get all sorts of angry over what? I don't know. Something he has no control over in the first place, in the second place, or any place. And screaming, coming from his guts, this outrage, this angst, this anger over something that happened in the world. I don't, you know, why? Why is he getting so upset? So, yeah, I don't, but I get upset in my own industry. And this is not my industry. I'm not in, I've been in broadcasting and entertainment for a long time, but that's not, the point is that the people, some of the people, most of the people I share as a personality, I don't even want to call myself that. As a person who, what am I? I'm not a journalist. I don't even belong here. I should just, going to just leave you alone. I know that's what you're thinking, but if you're listening, you're probably not thinking that. You're probably going to your friend who you brought over to hear me. You're going, you hear what goes on with this guy? He's on. I don't know what's he on. I don't know. But the thing I'm trying to say to you, and I'm really trying to say this to you without saying exactly what I mean. And you say, why? All of a sudden you don't want to be honest, Frank? Well, I'm not always honest anyway. I'm an act, just like these other people who are on radio, whether it be internet or interweb, or whether it be AM, FM, or MW, which is a middle wave, I guess. Do you ever have a radio that has midwave? You hear those really weird reports in the middle of the night. I guess you hear them in the afternoon too, of people talking about the weather and things like that. Well, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, I don't know. Okay. This is an important three. These are very important three words. Okay. There are things you have to say, I don't know. You can't stand up for something you know. You don't know, but say you know it. It's impossible. And why get all upset like these people do, not naming names, when it's all an act in the first place, in the second place, and any other places there are in the number of places you could say in the number place. So there's that. And there's this, which is Cthulhu Chronicles. Y2K plus 16, lots of people sitting back after having their meals. Because meals, at this time in the East, you don't have this meal now. It's live here as we have it. And then those of you who are listening other than Thursday, Y2K plus 16 on the 24th of November. If you're not listening and it's not that, if you're listening and it's not that date, then I don't know when you eat. It doesn't matter. But at this particular point, as it's being recorded live for broadcast everywhere later and here live, because we're live, there's probably no one eating unless they're having that extra bit that you have. Well, we had. I don't know if anyone has. See, I said I don't know again. If more people did this, if more people just went, I have an opinion, but I'll tell you, there's a lot about in the opinion. This stuff I don't know, but I'll tell you what I think. What you think you know is what they're saying. But nobody wants to say that. People want to be sure that what they're telling you is correct. So the big hot air balloons that get onto talk radio, and if they're not big hot air balloons, they're just groveling, grouchy old things. And they say things and then people believe them, because there's people out there who want to think that because somebody has a microphone, they're saying things that are true. So listen to me instead of in my opinion. And in your opinion, and your opinion means you don't know. It means you think. I think, and the word think means I imagine. I imagine, I make up, it's fiction. No one knows anything. That's today's message from me, Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, who now has his tinnitus. I want you to hear that. Yeah, I can see it on the little meter. Click, 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 a pencil against my ear, which is the name of my next book. I'm still working on it. We're going to talk about, something of interest, not interesting, but of interest, as I promised. Speaking of this stuff about knowing, life is always, even back when, they, at that table in the Thanksgiving with the Pilgrims and the, Native American Indians, the Cochises and the Wakinos and whatever they're called. I don't know the names of those. I got a very, very, I grew up with very bad information about Native Americans. And I think a lot of us did. If you're in my generation, a baby boomer, believe me, you grew up with lies. People would say they know. I know those. And what do they call them? Savages. They used to call them in the movies, and they got all this stuff that goes on because of these people. You know, who were here before any of those pilgrims came, and the Anglo-Saxons came, and the Germans and the Italians, right? These guys were here. These guys and gals were here. They had a culture. They had everything going. Okay. And for all we know, had America, let's say the New World, had the New World not been swarmed by white people who were originally black people. Do you know this, Frank? Are you saying because you know it? I'm just looking at a certain amount of facts. I'm not giving you an opinion. Okay, there are certain facts. Okay, and of course there goes back to Genghis Khan, and who repopulated the world. And I'm laughing because these are things I put together. It's not an opinion. These things I've read. And they weren't the person who wrote them down was not giving me his or her opinion. They were using hard, cold facts. Why are hard facts always cold? Shouldn't be hot facts? And the point I'm trying to make is these Native Americans who, maybe they came off the Bering Straits and they were originally Eskimos or whatever, but they're dark people though. They were red. They called them reds because they were red. I don't know if they were red. Were they actually red or kind of yellow? You know, they used to do in the, during World War II in cartoons and comic books, they used to show Japanese when they were villains, because we were fighting the Japanese, they used to show they had red faces. They were red. They were red. The Japanese were red. You ever meet a red Japanese? And yet, because they come from the same strand of people that came from China, which, you know, Chinese and those, you really got to go back and find those words for me. They're more yellow, not red. So this all gets completely screwed up. And that's why I'm saying there are people probably who are of my age who were, who believed some of the things, about American, Native Americans, we call them now. They don't call them Indians because they're not from India. Who, by the way, are dark. They're dark people, the Indians. So I grow up and I don't know any, it's a lie. Everything's a lie. Okay, these people were just defending themselves. Have you seen the movie Dances with Wolves? Have you read the book Dances with Wolves? Have you read the stuff about Christopher Columbus and what he really did when he came over here? Have you seen the atrocities done to the people who owned the United States of America before we had a name for it? No, maybe you did, and then you know what I'm saying. But we didn't grow up. They didn't give us any of that crap. They gave us a bunch of, they called them, here's the savages and here's the great white American soldier. Which is not, they didn't have races. Whatever it is, the bugle call for those cavalry and the soldiers who went out and said, hey, no, how about Custer? They made Custer into a big hero, you know, and he was a jerk. He deserved to have all the hairs pulled out of his head the way he did. And all those guys, I mean, really, you know, well, I'm American and I'm George Custer was a general of, he was a jerk. He was out there trying to kill people who owned the land. So what do you call that, huh? Mobster. He was a rebel because he didn't, there was no, the institution was the Native American. That was the institution. That's the way they lived off the land. The pilgrims would have known to grow corn? It would have taken forever. They might have starved. Think about that. They came over to the New World and they didn't know how to grow the food, or they didn't know that the turkeys could be eaten or anything. They didn't know this. And then the Native Americans said, look, we live here. We know what to do. So we're going to do it. And we're going to show you what to do to survive, because otherwise they would have died. Now, here's my point. If they'd never come over, if there'd never been white people coming over here and killing them, for all we know, over the centuries, right, or at least the century, they would be running the place, and we would be the immigrants, the white people. Think about that. But for one or two alterations in how things went, in the history of these two people, types of people getting together, it would have been exactly the opposite. So, to the victor goes the spoils. So, you all got your wonderful, the same thing with, look, what did the white people do? They didn't have enough, they have Indians, they killed off all the Indians who weren't Indians. Well, get rid of all them, make them starve and take away their land, and then what? Well, how about we go to Africa and we get a whole bunch of people down there and bring them up, let them serve us and clean our fields and stuff. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. If you start to think about it that way, and then you want an opinion, but your opinion based on all the other stuff, because it's lies. Lies from the beginning, lies to the end. Lies from A to Z, unless you have an alphabet that uses other letters. In which case, lie from the first letter to the last letter. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show. We're going to talk about something interesting in terms of acclimation, in terms of you in this world right now, by bringing to your attention a magazine that was once a tremendous magazine in terms of information and knowledge about living, just like, I mean, if this magazine called Popular Mechanics, if it existed, and eventually it might have, if we let the Native Americans alone, they'd be telling us all this stuff. They'd show us how to write. They'd show us how to build things. 'Cause they did. All the pilgrims did was come over here and go, we're hungry. We need clothing. We need to know how to live. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Right? They didn't know anything because they were spoiled. Oh, they were repressed and suppressed. If there is a difference, one or the other, but they still liked it over there. They left so they could pray. They come here to pray. What do they get? They get people to help them. So, we're going to talk about Popular Mechanics, which was once a very popular magazine. Today, it's not that popular, but it still exists. And amazing, in a world where magazines are disappearing quicker than worms in a skunk ranch. Worms in a skunk ranch. Here's another one for you, Jiggy. You son of a... The worms in a skunk ranch. Magazines are disappearing that quickly. So therefore... Or there are five, as would be said by other people. That's what happens with that. So here we are now, here, you and I. Live. I've done every Thanksgiving show live since we've been on. Maybe. I don't know. I can't. See, again, I don't know. I don't remember, and I cannot document the fact that there might have been a Thursday here or there when we didn't do a show or we ran a repeat. I don't remember. That's how long ago this show has been airing. Longer than all the people who say they know and tell you what you want to hear. Because you know what? The most fascinating things and the most important things you're ever going to hear in your life are the things you don't want to know and the things you don't want to hear. Those are the ones that are really going to turn you around and make you, oh my goodness, and make you go like, now I think, not I know, but I think. Those are the things. And that's why this show existed from the very beginning. Not to tell you the things you think you know. Not to make you feel good because the things you feel and know, think you know, that are just confirmed because someone else says it. Because that doesn't mean anything. You could have a thought. You could have something in your head. And no one else in the world, no one in the world can think it, condone it. Well, it's probably got to be one or two people anyway. You know what I mean? I don't know. See? I don't know. But I mean, and you could be right. Would we have some of the great things we have today if we didn't listen, support, and involve the opinions, the knowledge, the things that we didn't want to hear or didn't want to know? No, we wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be talking to one another. Same thing. And if that meant the white people didn't come here, I say white people, but you know what I mean. That if the pilgrim people, those guys followed, or the guys with the big, the guy invented Florida. He didn't invent Florida. The guy with all those guys from the England and Spain and coming over to the New World to find gold. Oh, yeah, right, to find more junk for their own wealth. That's all they get. Hey, if we go over there, he said in another language, even Columbus, right? I mean, this jerk, he comes over, he didn't even know he was in this place. He thought he was in the West Indies. What a navigator. Okay, so I think you get a taste. I think you get the gist of what I am saying to you. And it's not ecumenical. It's not even educational. And it's no other five-syllable word. It's just this. Okay? So, don't be fooled by what you hear and what you don't want to hear and what you want to hear. All right? Go on your merry way. Like, for instance, and I don't even want to get into this thing. I'm going to make a whole, we're going to go into the stuff with the magazines because I get Popular Mechanics. Thank you, Popular Mechanics publishers. I didn't even know you existed until you started sending it to me. I know what you're saying. You're saying, what do you mean? You don't subscribe to it? How much does it cost outside? Let me see. I have three current issues. I think they're current issues right here. And we're going to move the microphone right over here so I could read and go through this and talk to you at the same time. I have one here from, how, I love this. It says Popular Mechanics, How Your World Works. Now, when they tell you something, when they write something in here, they know it by, and they prove it. You can't just know something without proving it. If you know something, prove it. If it's just a thought or an idea or a concept, you better tell me that. If it's a theory, you better tell me that. Because then it's just, you know, borders on opinion. But if you have a certain amount of evidence, if you have all the evidence, it's real, for God's sakes. This one, so it says Popular Mechanics. And little, I mean, you can say it 100 times. And little letters below it. How your world works. Your world. They know. They show you. Does this have a date on it? You know, they used to have dates on the front. Remember? America's Magazine. Here, it's since 1902. Here we go. Since 1902. This is well over 110 years old here. What is it, 114 years old? Not this particular magazine. I mean, the it's never stopped. In a world where magazines are disappearing like worms in a skunk yard. Did I say skunk yard before? Worms at a skunk ranch. You could use it anytime you want. The way this is alive and living. But it doesn't have dates. I have three issues here and they don't have dates. They used to have dates on the front of magazines here. This says, here we go. 10-10-10-10. 10-16. Oh, this is October. That would be 10-16. They do it in numbers. And they do it on the spine. For those of you who don't know, the spine is a printing term. That's what holds it together. It's the hard edge of a magazine. If you even see magazines, if it doesn't have that, then it doesn't have a spine. It just has staples in the middle. Here's 11-16. So we got October, November, and this is, this is, why is this written in a color? I can't even see it. Oh, in December. So I have October, November, and December. By golly, I have each one right here. Which one was October again? This one is November. That one is December is the one I can't read. And this is what? This is December. And this one is October? 10? 10 is October. Okay. I'm going to look through some of these and tell you about it after I do this brief commercial. I don't know about that word. Should I do a spot? An advertisement? Thanksgiving. Advertisement? Advertisement? There's another word that has different... And, accents. It's funny how accent means where, right? The point where you emphasize a word of more than one syllable. And yet accent is when you speak one language, but you really speak another one. So when you speak the other language, you have an accent. I love words. Oh, you know, they have an envelope here. I've been meaning to talk about this scam for weeks, but I'm not going to write them. And I'm not going again because I didn't think we were going to get into what we got into. And I'm going to do an entire show and I'll do this. Here's a little tease. Okay. Cause, and there's nothing, believe me, there is nothing. Well, you know, if you listen to the show, but I mean, if you don't listen to the show and then a friend says, listen to the show, and then you come here and now you're listening, or if you're only a first time listener, then you're going to say like, well, you know, is he politically correct or, And I don't know. I don't know any of that. I just know that the things that I talk about are happening and I give you my ideas on them. Ideas. I don't know. If I know, I tell you so. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. If I know, I tell you so. But I saw something, and I'm going to talk. This is a tease now. Okay, I'm going to do a little tease for another show. It's going to happen. I'm going to tell you about a pornography. What are they? Movies? They're not even movies anymore. What are they? a piece of pornography, a moving picture. What do you call them anymore? Because they've changed so radically from the beginning. And parody, a parody. Let's do a porn parody, which is an alliteration in itself. I'm going to tell you about a porn parody that is once again crazy. It's crazy to do this based on the fact of the characters. Even though, I know what you're saying. Oh yeah, right. Let's suspend belief when it comes to pornography if you're going to watch it. And you know, a lot of you watch it. You don't watch it. You know, your friends tell you to watch it, whatever the case might be. But I want to tell you, and this is funny because I've talked about this before in terms of the comic book Superman. And I'm going to tell you about the gay Superman porn and what's really funny or crazy about it. I guess I could do a whole show on that because we've talked about Superman, Batman, and a number of other men who were like, who were super or bats. And, we're gonna do that. So that's more on, comic book stuff. And it's, you know, you watch those comic heroes with that Smith guy, Silent Smith, and those guys who run that show or whatever, or you listen to your Big Bangs and whatever. But when we talk about comics here and understand them. Okay, and we give you what you don't want to hear about them. That's the point, see? So it's important because you're not going to hear them anywhere else. You want to hear what you want to hear about them and how wonderful and everything because it agrees with you, then go. You want to hear it and you come here. We're going to do that. And ignorance. But that's why ignorance is bliss. You see how that came entirely around to the beginning? So that wasn't what I was going to do with the advertisement. The advertisement has to do with my books, which are available at Amazon, blurb.com, and lulu.com. And I'm doing this because I'm my own sponsor, for gosh sakes, you know? And I want to thank people for although I can't pinpoint which books are being sold. I don't know what's wrong with Amazon, but they're just not, I don't know. They just don't, I don't know. See, I don't know. Three times. I might find out. But I want to thank the people who've been buying the books at Amazon. I know that because it shows up. Like the other books takes a while to find out what I get from them. But Amazon is the digital. We get the digital books. No hard copy books. And I think it's fascinating that the digital books sell way more than the hard copy books. That just goes to show you why. And like magazines. Like you get a magazine. Can you get this online? This stuff? You know, it's like, I get the magazines and maybe, you know, real books. Reading is not disappearing, but how you read is changing. It's evolving. It's evolving. So I want to thank the people who have been really excited and trying to be excited, whether you like it or not. I don't know. I get reviews and they're very nice, very, very good. And I feel good about them. Even if they're bad, I love getting feedback. That's why I love to give it, like I gave it in the beginning of the show. Not that kind of feedback. You know what kind I'm talking about. So thank you for, I did find out there are more sales. Every month there's some sales. So Amazon.com, put in my name, because I don't know the exact URL, but, you know, put in my name and get... Go buy the books. You know, they're cheap. They're $2.99. You get the whole book. They're nice. They're not long. They won't take up much of your life. And hopefully you'll enjoy them first. If you find anything important to your life about them, then that's good. But, you know, I'm not out to teach. I'm not out to preach. I'm just out to have a good time. I'm just out. This is what I do this stuff and I share it with you and it costs practically nothing. So could you ask for more than that? Imagine, just imagine. So you can go there. Thank you for people who have been buying either and or Sweet Shepherd, Man of La Mancha, License to Skill, and Wordsworth Shelley. Those are the three books. There's another book there. There's a little thing about investing, but you know, the ones, who makes anything off of that? Should be free. Shouldn't you? But those four. Thank you. And continue. Tell your friends if you like them to get their own. Cause it's $2.99. Jesus. Cremens almighty. As Ralph Cotola would say. $2.99. What are you nuts? And Wait, I'm thinking. Oh, blurb.com. $5.99, two books there. Molotov memoirs and more Molotov memoirs. Now, yes, that's $3 more, but I have nothing to say about that. But you also get with Molotov memoirs the great and inspiring, wonderful to look at, delightful to see, T. Stephen Gesick artwork with Molotov memoirs and the sequel, More Molotov Memoirs, or as we call it, 3M. Those two books are available in digital. Now, you could buy them a hard copy, and, you know, this is, and I'm doing this also, even though I do this, and I tell you, go buy the books, blah, blah, blah. I do it all year, and when more books come out, I tell you, excuse me, but it's the holiday season, and of course, if you're listening to this live or not, but the point is that then tomorrow's Black Friday. In for those of us on the live radio, and those of you who aren't on live radio, it's gone, but you're still going to be shopping and getting things for your friends, your family, your family's friends, and your friends' families, and the sons and daughters of the revolution. So why don't you buy them good books, fun, and not all fun. Although it's fun to read drama, don't you think? Two serious books. Oh, no, wait a second. We can't call Man of La Mancha totally serious, because it's a dramedy. That's what I hate when they put words together. And I hate saying hate. I don't like it when they use that as a, because it's not a genre. Dramedy, again, you know, they say dramedy, can't call it comedy, because decomeda, because a drama, comedy drama? No, it's a, can't call it a melodrama, because that's different. That's over the top. So, but Sweet Shepherd is serious, and the book of poetry, Wordsworth Shelley. Huh? I gave you a moment to think about that. Well, that sounds familiar. Of course it does. That is serious, in a sense. No, not in a sense. I don't know. You know, you can, I don't know what to say. You know, I'm telling you how I approached it, each one. But Sweet Shepherd, selling very well, probably the best of all of them, and serious, which does my heart good, as they say. Maybe it should does my heart well. Maybe I should say it that way. Because, why? You say why? I say why. I tell you why. Because I'm not known for doing serious things, and the serious things I've done, when I do them and they're accepted, it just makes me feel way more important than I ever will be. It's good to know that it's like, you know, and you'll see. And read some of those, if you want to wait till you buy it, read some of those included reviews that people have put up there, and you'll see that it's good. But whatever you get out of them is fine, and whatever they are, comedy, drama, it doesn't matter to me. Just go get them. There's one more place, I'm sorry. There's Lulu.com. Now, the Lulu last week I couldn't describe to you. I forgot what to call them. They're chapbooks. They're called chapbooks because they're not novellas, and they're a series of different stories. It's not a novella, so it's not one long story. And there's numbers of stories, and it doesn't have a spine. It's kind of, you know, it's short. They're all short. And there's three books over there. And they're fun. And they're also available. They're even cheaper than $2.99. I think they're $1.99. Come on, friends. I know I push you on this. I push. But that's because this is good stuff for cheap. And, you know, everyone wants good stuff for cheap. Let's face it. Right? Would the world be where the world is now? Would you be even able to sustain or give thanks for things you have if you couldn't get good stuff for cheap? Right. And now, these days, when it comes to digital stuff, remember, if you remember Mad Magazine, when it would say no matter what the price was, and it's changed, no matter what the price was on the magazine to buy it, and that has changed over the years. There's still Mad Magazine. So it says, now it says, like, you know, it used to say, when I was buying it, I think it was 35 cents. I think it started when I was buying it. 35 cents. Cheap. Under the number and the price, is it cheap? Then it went to 50 cents. It was 50 cents cheap, because 50 cents became the new 35 cents because of inflation and the way money has changed, right? And then up to 75 cents cheap, until it was well over $1, $1.50. I don't know what it is now. $3.99, $4, $5. It says cheap. So you can get a novella, stick it on your phone, or do whatever you want to, because now it, you don't even have to have a special device. When this digital reading started, everybody had to have a device, right? You had to have a device. You don't have to have a device now. Everything is playable on anything. Almost. There's always a way to find anything on every, that's why we talk so much about hacking in the, we don't, I don't, but maybe you hear it in the news and stuff, because the people know how to do that. It, like, there's just no way out of anything. There's always a way to find out how to see something digital, whether it's a picture or it's your, or something to read or a file. So don't think anything is exclusive. It's not. So go get those books. Don't worry if it says Kindle. You can get a free Kindle reader. If it says Kindle, you can get, whenever, you know. So there's that. And that's true for, I think that's true for all of the books. Yes, of course it's true, because you can listen to everything. All right. There you go. Our topic coming up in the second hour of this Cattolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cattolo. Man's name is the title of the show. That's it, the books, right? You know what's free is the stuff that is available for you at 148.ca/Frank. Every once in a while, if not every week, a funny blog you can read there. Good stuff. Maybe you won't find it funny. Maybe you'll take it seriously and take notes. I don't know. Not my problem. Forculture.com has a section called Words now. And instead of getting the cyber magazine and the digital magazine, you can get to read my stuff in Words. And you'll see an advertisement in there for Man of La Mancha, which is one of the Amazon books. And the proceeds for that book don't even go to me. They go to keep Forculture.com alive. And if we get enough to write a check for them, we will. So come on, folks. Instead of giving, you know, buy a book and give a thing. Is that the only places I don't know. I'm you know. And then, of course, the show blog, CattoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Now, I want to tell everybody out there who is a friend of mine in Facebook, not that they care, because the 1,000, some 15, 2,100, whatever it is I have, I say, you know what, I see a lot of stuff from you, because that's okay. You know, I have not used Facebook, the way I used to. I'm just not communicating with a lot of people. I'm very busy. I'm a very busy man, because how do you think these books get written? These shows go broadcasted. How do you think this stuff goes? I may to make a living. I move on, but I am on Twitter at Frank Cattolo. Once in a while, there's funny stuff there. And if you really want to get into stuff, at TJ Savino, which leads me to my next advertisement or announcement or plug or promo or whatever we can call that. Tease. Starting next week, which is the 1st of December, on Thursday evening, live. And remember, all of you stations out there that want to carry Savino Veritas and run it as much as you want, anywhere you want, and you could run it after this show when you pick up and play this show. No, there's nothing, it doesn't cost you anything. You just run the parts where we do our little commercials about things that we sell, which is fine, like my books and things, and Tom may have some stuff. But you, Savino Veritas returns after a not so designed hiatus. And we don't have to get into that. We just have to welcome Tom Savino back and Savino Veritas on December 1st of this year. He's coming back, and it's going to be great. He's not around now. I thought he was around. I might even talk to him, but he's not. So you see what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? You can't see it, because I didn't write it down and make you read it. So Savino Veritas is going back. At TJ Savino is a Twitter. He has thousands upon thousands of followers. He's a Twitter champion. He's the king of his Twitter world. And one of the kings of the Twitter world. By golly. By George. And I'm there at Frank Cattolo. You know, I put up stuff here and there. Not always related to just fun or any particular thing or any broadcasting or anything. And stuff I do that concern that I, in another business of which I participate. So this is all that. the blog, and what did I mention the blog? CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. I should put more stuff on there, but it's amazing. I'm into so many projects and so many things that I'm doing. I don't really have the time to do a lot of this. So plus I wash my own dishes. I take time and I have to wash my clothes and I have to drive around and do errands. I am my own staff when it comes to all this. So, you know, that's the deal. And what I'm going to do is give you a break, and not a break, and not a long break. I'm going to play my my little thing that says what show you're listening to, and then we're going to come back and talk to the last hour on Popular Mechanics. I'll show you how this, and this is not a commercial, by the way. I get Popular Mechanics for nothing. I'm not doing it so I can continue to get it. This is not a payback or an advertisement or anything. It's a pop culture thing that has to do with the Hallelujah Trail. It shows you how things have acclimated and adapted to the ever-changing climate and the Hallelujah Trail, which Thomas Friedman is writing about in his new book called Thank You for Being Late. Just the way Norm Crosby's dead. Norm MacDonald has his book, which is already gone from our consciousness. And his is, you know, very much like Molotov Memoirs, which came out first. I'm not saying anybody stole anything. I'm just telling you that these particular things that have been going on this show for 20 years are finding their way into people who, for some reason or another, are able to deal with the mainstream from which I came to be here and to pioneer, to pilgrim, a pilgrim of the internet. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, the pilgrim. There's another one aside from, you know, I am the pilgrim. I'm pilgrim. Oh, I did. See, there I go. There I go. Pilgrim peas. I'm popping my peas. I should be a pilgrim of what? Internet radio production of alternative. I'm writing this on the list. Alternative, broadcasting. Let's do that. Okay. So I am also I'm the bard of broadcasting, period, but I'm the pilgrim of alternative broadcasting. Although I didn't kill Native Americans and I never would and I never will. So stay with us. Replenish. You got to get more beverage so you can replenish your precious bodily fluids. And if you're holding it in, go get them. Go let them out, because you need to do that too.
The Dole Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world. Listening.
Sweet Shepherd by Frank Cotolo is one of the hottest modern romances being read today.
It's a digital book you can buy in all formats and read on any device for only $2.99 from Amazon.com.
Sweet Shepherd is a classic tale of the ages about love and careers, legends and lifestyles, life and death.
A touching book that will make you weep. Cotolo never disappoints with his unique view of the world and his mastery of the nuances of the English language, write reviewers.
Subscribers of Kindle Unlimited can get Sweet Shepherd free while exploring over 800,000 digital titles and audiobooks on any device for only $9.99 a month.
One way or another, order and read the new millennium's heat-warming novella, Sweet Shepherd by Frank Cotolo.
Get it now.
Get it now. See, get it now. Get it now. Get it now. The Meadows Media Play I had... It's so quick. It just goes from one file to another. Let's go to Popular Mechanics. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man's name adorns the title of the show. I'm the author. I'm the singer. I'm the singer. I'm the dancer. And I'm the hot romancer. It just rhymes. What can I tell you? What else would it be? No, you don't want to do that. Popular Mechanics is still out. Let me tell you this. And we'll go to October. And this is, I'm going to have to move this. I'm going to have to read it. Magazines are very, very small type these days now. Can this go? Wait, I know what to do here. Oh, you go. More light on that one. Contents. This is amazing. I'll tell you right off the bat, including advertisements or advertisements as the case may be. This is about 125 page magazine each month. Now, I'm not telling you to buy it or telling you how much it costs. You could look it up yourselves. But this is amazing to me because when I saw it, I said, what am I going to do with this? I'm not good with my hands. I'll beat my finger with the hammer. I'll do this. And I was not aware that Popular Mechanics is now a compendium. And it's a combination. It's a compendium, okay, but that's what I'm trying to say. It is indeed a hybrid. It's a hybrid of analog and digital. So the things that are going on in this magazine, the things it tells you that you can do on your own, which it always has done that, popular is the key word here. But there's also products and things that are going on that have to do with a combination digital and analog. The price is everything. And it rates them just the way those other magazines rate cars and so. What are those magazines? I forgot. But, I mean, I'm just going to zip. I'm going to just look through this here and show you. They have a reader page. Okay, and there's letters. People write in. Where is Popular Mechanics? It's in Harlan, Iowa. And it has a lot of different, like, I have a calendar. Let's look at the December calendar. I'm going to go to the December issue and slip ahead here. It has a calendar, and this is what the idea of the calendar, of course, would be related to the products and the items that they talk about in here. For instance, Sunday, 27. What is that? Let's look at Monday the 5th and 6th. There's nothing there. There's just a... wait a second. Move on here. Let's look at the 7th. Wednesday. Oh, no. Let's look at the 1st. No, that's just pictures of people. I'm not getting anywhere here. Saturday, December 3rd. It's been 40 years since the release of Rocky, the movie. That has nothing to do with digital. So maybe I'm wrong. There aren't all that. Let's look at something that it says here. The 75th anniversary of the attack of Pearl Harbor, of course. Let's see on the calendar. So this is just, you know, keeping you up to date with stuff that's happening. How about this? The 8th of December? No, January. How about we're going to go right to January because, Stephen Hawking, one of the world's most revered scientists, turns 75 on January 8th. Hey, let me say this too. Okay, forget it. We'll go back. We'll say that next week. So anyway, they have a calendar. And it's here, and it doesn't always say things that, you know, trees, Sunday, here, December 4th, how to make a good tree great, huh? There's a little box, how to make a good, trees and homeowners have a few things in common, including bald spots. Thankfully, we can help one of you. Hang shiny green tinsel on the inner branches or openings of your Christmas tree to give it a fuller, healthier look. Think of it as a kind of, oh well. Anyway, so you can, she gives you tips and tells you things that you could do that have nothing to do with digital. You can still do these things. And you're gonna, you're not gonna have a digital Christmas tree. You're gonna have a real tree if you're gonna, if you do the Christmas thing. Appreciation to Stephen Hawking's. This month, okay. Okay. No, wait, this month in government, Friday, January 20th? Ah, yes, the year-long restoration of the dome atop the U.S. Capitol building is to be completed just before Inauguration Day. The dome, of course, originally constructed between 1857 and 1866, the current cast iron dome has acquired more than 1,000 cracks since the last restoration. So that's just a calendar. It doesn't mean anything. It's not what I'm talking about. How about this here? Popular Mechanics everywhere. Ta-da-da-da-ta-da. And it says online. And there is a PopularMechanics.com. Take the tour of the Nerf factory and talk to the engineers of the new Terra Scout drone. There's a lot of things about, you know, drones, of course, are now, I mean, in the days, if there was a drone written about in Popular Mechanics, let's say 15, 20 years ago, it wouldn't be there. It would be science fiction. It would be in one of those science fiction magazines, which is still out there, and probably more of them back then. Okay, so you could read about the Stones Instagram stories. Okay, Instagram is there. Okay, it says right here, photos and videos that appear after 24 hours? Huh? It's telling you about Instagram. There's probably a Popular Mechanics Instagram account too. Sounds familiar, and yet we can't get enough of it. Check out our new Instagram stories feed and follow along as we visit science museums, work on projects, and scope out car shows. They follow. The follow along doesn't work, but we're not going to get into the English. While you're on the app, tag us at Popular Mechanics. Or using hashtag Popular Mechanics to share it. See this, see? And so they're across the board with the digital stuff there too. In your stocking, if you still haven't figured out what to give someone, we've got two more ideas we're especially fond of here. Both come from our friends and were made in partnership with Popular Mechanics. What is it? Wall mount bottle opener. Louisville based woodworker has created a wall mount bottle opener made from bourbon barrel staves. Okay, they could put that in your stocking. I'm looking for something that has a combination of, you know, not, because they still do this. You know, how your world works is what this is, the world, right? How your world works. How your world works. That's it. Yeah, right. So Popular Mechanics. Since 1902, the best of technology, 2016. Now you may think you have to get, and another great magazine, of course, the digital or not, is Wired. We get various pieces of information from that, and they have all sorts of accounts everywhere else too. But the best electronics, the best of technology, 2016 is right here in this. This couldn't be there years ago. What would be the best of technology? They would tell you how to make radios. You know, at one time, Radio Shack, you could go and make a radio. And there's not even a Radio Shack anymore. The store doesn't even exist. No less did it leave behind, bequeath, or leave as a legacy. How to make those great tube radios. Tubes. What happened to tubes? If you want to get a tube, where do you get it? I don't know, but you could probably write into Popular Mechanics and find out. For your consideration, the most exciting things, that have been played with technically that have to do with digital over the past year. That's in the October edition. Listen to some of these headphones that are, wireless earbuds. But we're inevitable, but for years we got flawed prototypes and dicey crowdfunding campaigns. Now they're finally available in versions we can embrace. Okay? Okay. They're telling you this is a great piece of technology. And, you know, they don't fool around either. They're very honest about, and one of the issues says, is this stupid or is this amazing? And they judge whether the tech, because, you know, digital operated and digital oriented things, nouns, yeah, tools, appliances or what have you, are, you know, have merged too. They're all out there and they'll tell you whether they're good or not. Not stupid drones. So you want to get your own drone, which is, let's face it, digital. It's here in Popular Mechanics. See, we'll look back at the DJI Phantom 4 and Yannick Typhoon H, the models that despecialized the drone. Despecialized the drone. Both can follow subjects without your help, steadily tracking a human, car, or animal. Okay, Popular Mechanics. They got Bose headphones, complete, not earplugs, but headphones. They're telling you they're good. Noise canceling is when your headphones use one sound frequency to cancel another that would otherwise interrupt the listening experience, which I go through every, these are the ones I need. I don't know how expensive they might be here, but they must be. Bose, of course, another company that has, that has gone using digital to sell their, to accompany the mechanics of, not mechanics, use mechanics, the operation of their analog. You could touch it. That's what analog really means. You know, something you could touch. It's not just zeros and ones out there. Headphones. Artificial intelligence earns its keep. According to this, in 2015, venture capitalists were all talking about financial technology apps. Apps, of course, the big thing. You all know that. And this tells you a lot about apps, how they work, what they do. And those are not touchy. You can't touch an app. That's the name of another book I'm going to be writing. You can't touch an app. The applications are zeros and ones, and they do certain things, and you can't make them do others. But it says here that applications which distill investment decisions to a few taps, then remove the decision part. Anyway, they have it right here. They tell you about apps right there. Here's another one, a resilient smartphone. What did I go back to October? Am I still in December now? I went backwards? I don't know what I did. Stupid. This is stupid or amazing. This is December. That's okay. We'll do this. We'll use this one here. Here, it says here, resilient smartphones. All the major smartphones can now survive a spilled drink. Okay? And it tells you various ones, the Cat 560, or that's S60. I don't know if that's a 5. The iPhone 7, 7 Plus. On its own, that's not crazy. It's not a crazy feat of engineering for a phone to survive a spill. I don't know if keyboards, you know, water and the new technology equipment have always been like a worm in a skunk field. I mean, the worm's gone. You know, maybe we'll just destroy. Now let's say, in that case, it'll be a poison worm that kills the spunk. The skunk, not the spunk. That's what gives the skunk life, is the spunk. No, reverse. Okay, now we reverse it. We go back to what we were talking when we said that water, which is everything, of course. Everything that's liquid is water. It either tastes or has the consistency more thicker, but it's all liquid. But it says here on its own, it's not a crazy feat of engineering to make a smartphone free of getting ruined by liquid. A fine mesh over the speakers, gaskets around the SIM card, extra adhesive. Okay, just find out about it. Find out about it. Warning, don't plug in a water-resistant smartphone if it's wet. See what they tell you here in Popular Mechanics. There's more headphones next. The Glyph might be the best portable screen around. A portable screen with headphones. I guess that's for a portable screen. So why would you want it? You can't walk and watch something with your, can you? You would sit down and watch something. Anyway, it's a portable screen because it doesn't have, what does it have? I don't know. Does it have a wire connected to it? The best portable screen around for movies or gaming, except it's not a screen. Inside the band of the headset worn parallel to the ground, in front of your eyes, low-powered LEDs shine into an array of millions of mirrors. Billions of mirrors that project images straight into your retinas. Whoa! Heavy. It's not something you build with two straws and a box top from Corn Flakes. Okay? This is modern mechanics now, friends. We're not building chairs unless we got zeros and ones. How about a Wallabot? It tells you about a Wallabot. Tells you about the Tesla Model. You see, these are all things. Look at this. A resilient Wi-Fi set. Here's something else. Google Project F1. I don't know. Project Fi? Your phone is a miracle of capability. Your carrier with his weird service map and unjust fees is a handicap. So with Google's Project Fi, rather than pledging allegiance to one carrier, your phone chooses the strongest signal from one of three carriers' cell towers, Sprint, T-Mobile, or U.S. Cellular. Did you know about that? And you would if you had that. See? See how this has changed? These things wouldn't be here, but the foresight, the ability to adapt. And that's the theme here. Okay. I'm showing you what Popular Mechanics does to survive. And it's the Hallelujah Trail. How you apply the new technology to your life moves you forward. And you know what? You're not moving backwards. You're not going anywhere but forward right to the end. Top of the world, Ma! You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. They also have a Ninebot, a Segway Ninebot. You've seen these things you stand on and they, you know, you ride around on them. I don't know why anybody wants these, but they do sell them. I get it. I too mocked hoverboards when I used the Ninebot. But then I used the Ninebot, says this guy. Segway took the balancing technology from its original person mover. It's a person mover. Oh, that's what they call it. It's a person mover. A person mover. So, it's on its own. I guess a wheelbarrow is an object mover, right? Is that how that works? You shouldn't even get that. You shouldn't be thinking that way with this stuff. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean. Those are the five words that explain everything you're going to say to anyone. You steer it by angling your knees, making it easy to ride. You just sit. Oh, wow. That's amazing. Okay. So there's that. George Washington eggnog. How do you make George Washington eggnog? All the steps are here. Okay. Let's move on. We've got plenty of these things. A pack. If you're going out there, and this is what's good about this too. Okay. These aren't just things for your head. They're things to use because of the connection between the digital and the analog and how these two things work together. There's a surefire way to know equipment is ready for the wild. This is a thing you carry in your back. What is it called? There's a certain fabric. What's it called? A backpack? Hello? Okay, a backpack where you put stuff if you go hunting or camping, but why else? Or if you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere after the nuclear attack, I don't know what that means either. What I'm saying is this. In 2013, the Eddie Bauer company that does clothing, and various clothing and artifacts. That's not artifacts. Clothing and tools and items that go along with the clothing or whatever. Eddie Bauer was redesigning its highly technical Ascent line of outdoor gear. Let's call it outdoor gear. The company turned to its resident athletes and mined their expertise to create the best backpack possible. Using the company's unique in-house feedback system, Basecamp, 8 different adventurers, skiers, snowboarders, alpine climbers, weighed in on the pack's creation and reported on their time in the field. This is, okay, I'm not read the whole thing. The point is that it's a fabric that's designed for this. And you should see this thing because it's got all the connections. It's got wires. It's got things so that you could use, I guess, phones and other digital equipment while you're out in the wild. I mean, shouldn't you have to do that? Certainly you got a phone now. You know, you're out in the wild. It doesn't matter because we got the satellites and all that. Wi-Fi and space-fi and fee-fi and fo-fum. How about the removable? It has a removable crampon pouch. It's got Well, this guy says here, as a professional guide, I'm constantly in and out of my pack. I'm always reaching for my shovel. my probe, my saw. He's got a probe. I know that brings up images that are not necessarily involved with this conversation. Those are the rescue tools. Oh, okay. The rescue tools. In a real rescue scenario, seconds and minutes are extremely precious. Anything you can do to limit that fumble time is an interesting, I said interesting. There's a great phrase, fumble time. Fumble time, when things have to be done like immediately, and there's a certain amount of fumble time because you're not going to be able to do anything you need to do exactly the amount of time is need to be done. Anyway, they got that. They got a chest belt. You can pop off the chest belt. You got if you want to do some popping off while you're out there. You've got the closure. What do you got? The quick release clasps. The bones. They added Delrin rod on the inside of the pack for structure and to allow the pack to compress better. Okay. Do you know these things exist? You do now? Right here. This is like a catalog of, what's this? Full on vape. Oh, look, it's even a whole thing for vapor cigarettes. Water heaters. Here's a digital water heater. You have a home? You need an efficient piece of equipment? You can disassemble it in 4 hours and 10 minutes, it tells you. Oh, is this like disassembly report? Look at this. They have a disassembly report on a column by a guy named Todd McClellan. Things come apart. Don't you love this? Because when it comes to moving parts, analog or moving parts, and when it comes to digital tools, equipments, and pieces of equipment, what do you do when you take it apart? You find a motherboard? Only certain people know what to do with a motherboard. Right. They should, you know, they should have, you know what a good company name for a motherboard, make motherboards? It's the Oedipus. Oedipus Motherboards. Wouldn't that be great? Call it, okay. There I go again. This is a, started in Milwaukee in 1874 as a machine shop. A.O. Smith made parts for bicycles and baby carriages. That's how the Wright brothers, by the way, came. They were bicycle repairmen. And you say, do you know that, Frank? Yes, I do. That's just a fact. I'm not giving you an opinion that I say I know, because an opinion doesn't know. Okay, developed a lightweight automobile frame. 1906, Henry Ford came a-calling. This is a, what, beer? Corroded steel brewing tanks. Oh, they did that too. A.O. Smith figured out how to fuse a glass lining to the steel. Does anyone know what I'm talking about in terms of this? It's a water heater. And it tells you how to, and there's a diagram on how, and all the parts. Unbelievable. And is it digital? Yeah, it's a heat pump. It uses a compressor condenser loop to a loop. That's gotta be digital. Yes, here it is. Here's the tank list. A heat exchanging coil allows a burner to create hot water instantaneously. You could take it apart and put it back together again. There are still people who assemble things like cars, although cars, and it's really difficult to fix a car now, right? Because there's so much digital stuff in. I was talking to somebody who fixes cars, and I said, you probably had to go through another bunch of courses, because the way you fix old cars is not the way you fix new cars, because they're so digitally oriented, the new ones. So it's just fascinating. Now listen to this, the CNC movie camera. Because there's a how your world works. And you don't need to, this is not so you'll buy all this stuff, but so that you understand what's going on out there as it progresses. And when you need what you need, you can get it because it's available. Every day of your life, no matter what you're using to make your life better or just tolerable, there are items being invented and thought about, ideas that are going on to make more objects which make your life easier. And they're all in the stream of digital thought. Even if they're not, per se, totally digital. Because if they're totally digital, they're like an app and you don't touch it. Just get it and use it on a phone or in a computer or something. But look at this. A secret society of assassins comes to life thanks to a camera that's as nimble and acrobatic as the characters. That's the name. Huh? Must be a movie. Let's see. We remember the... anyway, here. What is this? Controlled by a director of photography. It's called a spider cam. It can deftly mimic the movements. When you have a... And then when you split up the word movements, and it's so small to print that, movements. Okay, it's controlled. This is called a spider cam. It deftly mimics the movement of a hawk on the wing. It's a camera that mimics what a camera would be like if you put it on top of a hawk or another fly, not a turkey, because remember, they don't fly. That would be hectic and dizzy. It would make you, it would give you nausea to do, to you. That's amazing. They have a camera like that. You may go out and see a movie and go like, oh, I guess they put that camera. I guess they put one of those little digital cameras on a hawk. And that's how they got that. Not so. They have a camera called the Spider Cam. Why is it called Spider? I guess if you read about it, you can find out, right? Here's a car stuff. There is a picture. And you know, whenever they show something, they have diagrams. Like, here's a diagram they set up. In this scene, a hawk soars over a heated battle in this movie. After overlooking thousands of soldiers, it plummets, darting between them at waist height before flying through archers' fire and over an eight. Oh, excuse me. I can't. That's a true. I have the elbow. I have the boom mic. I just hit it. And I think I know you're going to, you might have all jumped. Maybe I woke some of you up and you're awake to hear the rest of the show. My name is Frank Cotolo. My man's name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles, Y2K plus 16 on the 24th of November. Slated. You might be listening to it after that on another station, lifelike, because we do no edits. We have no specific alteration of the show that you hear. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, we lost an entire show to what? Not to memory. Who could remember these things? Because we had a recording malfunction. The zeros and ones screwed up. Okay, I just thought about that for a second. I'll come back. So this spider cam, it's amazing. I don't know how. You can look into these things. Great Unknowns. Look at this. There's a special holiday edition for Great Unknowns. Big questions, answers you can't find on the internet. There's stuff here that's not on your interweb. What are you, nuts? What are you, drunk? Anecdotal evidence suggests that old Saint Nick is the Chelsea Sullenberger of sleigh pilots. So there's something about that's A. And there's, what are my chances of encountering two identical snowflakes? Whoa. Here, do you know how many possible snowflake shapes exist? They wrote there are, which is bad English. Exist, and it has the number in zeros. That's how many. I can't, there's 768 zeros. A one followed by 768 zeros. That's your odds of finding once an identical snowflake. They've done the math. Math. That's right. That's what it says. An estimate supplied by John Nelson, the guy, a physicist. Okay. Can a fruitcake break a window? Can a fruitcake bake a window? Break a window. Hey, can you bake a fruitcake that can break a window? There's another good title for a book. Any of you people out there who want to write your own book, and you can do it now, shove it on Amazon or whatever, about how you take fruitcakes. Can a fruitcake? Yes. Though everyone knows the proper way to serve a fruitcake is to open the window before tossing it out. Hardy, har, har. They even have a sense of humor and Popular Mechanics. Great Unknowns. Know-how. There's a section called know-how. And there's a, so you crashed your drone. See? I tell you what to do. And they do. They show you how to open fire. Oh wow. What is wrong with your drone? Tell you how to avoid crashing in the first place. Popular mechanics. Because drones are everywhere. Go to Best Buy and those other various places to sell all your favorite digital items. Drones. There's a drone aisle. There's an aisle for drones now. Okay. Tool test. Oh wow. This really gets heavy because some of this stuff is so designed. Some of this stuff, like they have wrenches and hammers, they're not digital, but they exude the style of digital technology in their form, in their shape, and how they work. So the digital, which is untouchable, of course, zeros and ones, okay, has to it a sense of shape and use, because those zeros and ones have to do stuff that real tools do. So there is a visual, and the people who create these new, let's say, here's the Crescent CPW12. It's a wrench. Here's another one. It's 1.2 pounds. And this wrench can do just amazing things. Here's another, and that's only $20. No, this is $20. Yeah, that's $20. Here's one for $25. The Craftsman 25712. Weight 1.4 pounds. And that, I wish you could see these, and you can if you get the magazine or you look up fast acting wrenches. Because a water leak doesn't always leave you time to adjust your tools. So this is the digital consciousness in manifesting itself into the shape and the function. Do you see what's going on? Do you realize, let's not say see, do you realize what's going on out there? Do you realize how everything is changing? And so much of it is changing to your benefit. And how this is all part of why the world is just global. This goes over borders. This is amazing stuff. It's going on now. There's another one too, the Rigid. They call it the Rigid. That's $25, 1.6 pounds. And it tells you here the pipe range, the what have you. Here's what are this entry level planners? What's a planner? Rigid. Editor's choice. The Rigid R4331. Three knife. This is a digital saw. These are saws. Digital. And they run digitally. A three knife. These are machines where you put in things like wood. What else? Well, and it tells you what it dislikes. Changing the knife requires an unnecessary amount of finesse. Okay, you get into trouble there. Double-edged reversible knife. This cuts like all sorts of things, these various ones. So, you know those big saws that people use? Here's handsaws. High-tension hacksaws. High-tension hacksaws, my friends. There was no way. If you see these, if you go look for these and see pictures of these are an editor's choice here. If you looked at these, you see the design, and it's what I mean about the physical look. It's not even a look. It's a physical put together. Put together, what a word. What do I use that? There's no way. It would look like your hacksaws would look like this if they were not designed, not built, but designed by the digital conscious people who have. And what's really important about this is that people like the people being reported upon in this popular mechanics, people who know a lot about the math and digital technology, the new tech, let's just call it the new technology, are able to translate the images, the streamlined function, and the, advancement of that particular tool so that it's easier to use, safer to use, and lasts longer. You should see these hacksaws. High-tension hacksaws. Holy Christmas. The Nicholson MSA 8975. It's 1.6 pounds. And it goes towards a cut-through. Versatile. It could be folded. Listen to this. It can be folded into a low-profile configuration for tighter spaces. A hacksaw. Now, you know, you've ever used any of these tools. I haven't a lot in my life. No, I haven't. I'm not good with my hands that way. With building or, you know, destroying, I'm great. And other things. But, you know, imagine a folding hacksaw. I know my father used to cut pipes. He was, you know, he's a plumber. And you'd get that all that dusty. But if there was a certain place, he had to cut a pipe out of its containment where it was in a wall or something, or, you know, he couldn't get to it. It's seven times the work. I came up with seven, but it's not. It's just an incredible amount of more strength, and because you'd have to go at a different angle, and you couldn't, right? I mean, you might not even cut it the way, saw it the way it should be, so that it was usable. You could screw it up in a minute, in a second. Okay, but this, it folds, a folding hacksaw, my friends, my comrades, my members of this earth where I live. How about this one, spare blade holder? Yes, the Craftsman is a lot of saw for the money. It's lightweight, well balanced, and the rear grip and thumb rest, the rear grip and thumb rest are exceptionally comfortable. We made our cuts in steel and didn't break a sweat. See what I'm saying? Hear what I'm saying. Whew, tools. High tension hacksaws, which would not exist were it not for digital technology. Even though there's no zeros and ones and it's not a computer. We're not talking about a computer saw. We're talking about a high tension hacksaw from the consciousness of people who understand the new technology. Weather tech. This stuff for cars. I think that's an advertisement. Shop notes. Portable parts. Caddy from scrap. This is just ways to make certain things from, better overhead cutting with a hacksaw. Cut overhead. How about Ask Roy? Roy apparently knows a lot. He's got a column here. His name is Roy Ben, no, Berenson. Berenson? Berenson. Because there's an H at the end, so it's, you know, like, Berenson, so it's got that German thing to it. Is there any benefit to steel plumb bobs over brass or vice versa? Steel, is there? I ask you, you know, this is a question comes up at many a party. Is there any benefit of steel plumb bobs over brass or vice versa? It's like that song, isn't it? I don't even remember the song. How about this? A few months after I painted the walls in our living room, faint, shadowy lines showed up. What did I do wrong? Had the wrong one. You could even the paint things you use now are shaped with digital consciousness. My dad was a professional painter, and he always rounded sharp wood corners before painting. I never asked him why. Do you know Mr. Berenson? Sure he does. For the paint flow. Okay. I don't know. So there's snow. Why snowshoe? Why get a snowshoe? Because they're designed now incredibly. I once, long distance skiing. Is that what it's called? It's walking. In Washington, the state of Washington, way up there in the woods where grizzlies come out and, attack people. I don't know about that because it never happened to me. You know, but is it called long distance? No, it's called snow walking. No, it's called, you know, maybe they say what it's called here too. It says, unless you're a skier, the snow covered terrain of winter can mean 4 months inside wondering what the sun used to look like. But not if you have a pair of snowshoes. They make the outdoor world accessible year-round. It's not long-distance. What's it called? I can't remember it. It's called some skiing, but it's not. It's walking. It's walk skiing, but it's not called walk skiing. It's like Thanksgiving. It's called walk skiing. Walk skiing. This says they make the outside accessible. And now they have Do you know there's a United States Snowshoe Association? Did you know that? United States Snowshoe Association, the USSA. Back in the USSA. There is United States Snowshoe USSA. Walk through the basics. After that, they headed inside. So they have, and look at that. I can't believe it. They have the snowshoes and they show you these things. You could not have built this were you not, you would not have the framing you have here were it not for digital designers. The decking or the binding. You should see this. You can if you look it up. Varieties, recreational backcountry, long distance skiing. Is that it? I don't know. Write to me. By the way, anybody wants to write to me, fcatolo@yahoo.com. I also have a Gmail, but I'm not going to give that out because I don't remember it totally, and you'll get your Mailer Damon notices and it'll come back. What you want to know, I will answer, and I can send you a link to what have you. Why did I just think of that? Maybe you know. What is it? Long distance skiing? No, it's no hill skiing. I don't know what it's called. Other gear. Here's gear. Booties. Booties best for your snowshoes. Where to go? If there is snow, you can snowshoe. Thank you. Okay. You should see. You should. I'm just, you know, assuming you would see. Kid-proof go-kart. Go-karts. Go-karts with designed in Silicon Valley, more fun than any video game, okay? Now you keep, I know a lot of you may be moms or dads, or you have moms or dads who say, why don't you get outside? Why don't you stop just sitting there with your hand controls, fighting dragons, or World War II over again, or, and no, God knows you're probably losing the, or you're with your phone and your eyes are getting cross-eyed, or now you need glasses. When you have Silicon Valley designing a kid-proof go-kart, what is that, you ask? It's right here on the December issue of Popular Mechanics. It says here, find the nearest adult and tell them about the Aero Smart Kart, an invention that addresses every issue that would prevent a well-intentioned parent from buying a go-kart. Parents of those readers, the Arrow, this thing, now it cost $1,000. I'm sure that's going to go down. And I'm also sure there are people listening who could afford it. So there you go. It's electric. So there are no fumes and no maintenance required except keeping air in the tires. You can use an app to lower the 12 mile per hour top speed. There's an app that goes into, do I sound excited? Because I am. This, because it's all making my point. This is the Hallelujah Trail. Where you're on it. You're keeping up with this stuff. Don't be using, you could use a hand, let's say a hand can opener. I still have a hand can opener. I hate it. I'm going to get an electric or a digital hand. Digital hand. I'm going to get a digital. What, can opener, hand opener, can opener. You know, because why not if it's there? You know, there's coffee makers now. There's all sorts of, there's a go-kart and it's kid-proof. It has an app. Collision sensors on the front trigger automatic braking. The go-kart has automatic braking. Kid-proof. The kid is not going to. Well, I mean, anybody can get hurt on anything, that's true. But look, what a difference. Could this stuff have existed without Silicon Valley, which is the phrase for things that are digital? You can use an app to lower the bing, ba bum ba ba. If you fear your driver will intentionally or unintentionally escape your supervision, as if you have one for your kid, listen to this. You can set up a geofence to the motor, so the motor will function only within a perimeter that you define. Ladies and gentlemen, it has taken over. There's no way, I told you, there is no way of stopping this. You are involved. I've been saying it for 20 years, and the 20 years that I've been saying it has turned into 100 years of progress, 150 years. Don't worry about the other stuff. Put your books, put everything away. What did that mean? I was going somewhere. That is, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. The thing is, I'm pontificating and telling you what I've been saying from the beginning, but now there's detail because this wasn't, when I talked about the Hallelujah Trail, the fact that digital technology was going to change all of our lives, going to open up the world, going to create a global communication, which it does and has and is and will be. Okay? I was right. But I'm not telling you that because I want to be right. I'm telling you that because if you don't know it, look into it. It's happening. Whether you like it or not. So you might as well get adapted to all the things that can make your life easier and make you understand how much you can do with your life now. Imagine that. A car for kids. A go-kart for kids that you can... You can set up a geofence. A geofence, my friends. You know how dogs have those? You ever see dogs in a yard? What do you think that's all about? That's all digital technology. They invent an invisible fence. And of course, you know, it's all future shock. We all just take it for granted. Don't take this stuff for granted. See what's out there. There's way more than you think. Oh, boy, I just hurt myself again. At least I didn't knock into the microphone. Whooped. How not to waste money on tech? Gary Delabatty. Hey, this is the guy from Howard Stern. He's got a little column in here. We're going to pass by it because he's no... a wrench? Catastrophe. My wrench? I don't know. There's all sorts of stories in here. What am I moving along to? Driving. More about driving. The desert monster, a buggy, a dust buggy, a sand buggy, a manual buggy. Parts and service. Don't do it yourself stuff, okay? Stuff you should not do yourself. Your workshop. More on cars. Reviews of cars. And this is good too because the people who are reviewing it know digital technology and cars are no longer cars. They're now digital machines. We're less than 10 minutes away from ending this particular episode, if you want to call it an episode, chapter, show, whatever, of this geo, what do you call it? Geo? Forget about the geos. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. We're never going to be able to look at all three of these magazines, and I'm sure that there are very similar subjects in each one. Having to do Popular Mechanics, which is a magazine that has adapted. This magazine is traveling down the Hallelujah Trail and keeping up to date with everything. You don't need to buy or know everything that's in here, but the consciousness of what's happening out there, people who are making things and using everything in life, and it all affects you. Your world is so much larger than it used to be. Your reach is almost infinite. Almost infinite. You know how much? How far? Almost into. I don't even know if there's an AI. An artificial intelligence. Also means almost infinite. AI. Almost infinite is your reach with the things that you have at your fingertips. Even if you're arthritic. I am really excited. And I didn't think I was going to get this excited about it. So they review cars. And like I said, who else to review cars better than them? And look at this. They even tell you about old cars. Old is the new. Your bike is an extension of who you are. And that's not always shiny and perfect. All about restoring and fixing your old pre-digital era motorcycles. How about that? Da-da-da. Life. Here's one that's just life. Popular Mechanics. The life. And it's got, what is this about? This is a whole article about stuff that is related to what? What is this anyway? Night moves, trash taking. I don't know what that's cultural, I guess. Life is cultural. Look at this. Look at this. Open upsmanship, trading crazy tales of the things you've seen in the ER, gets as competitive as the, I don't know what that means. There's something here. It's an article. H, what is H? It's not fancy, but it works. The old scoring panel is dedicated to the bowling league's president from 1950 to 1956. Okay. A digital bowling scorekeeper. Did you ever go bowling and then you had to learn the language of scoring bowling? Anyone? I imagine, because I have not been into a new, if there are new bowling alleys, are there? How much digital is going on in there operating that place? Huh? Yeah. Here's stupid or amazing, okay? I'm never going to get to these other editions, so let's just put them aside here. Those aside. Stupid or amazing? Simply because a new invention is innovative doesn't make it smart. Here, our judgment of the year's most notable advances. So it has the product, and it says whether it's stupid or amazing. For instance, it starts off with stupid. Here's a new invention. So you see, not everything, as I said before, not everything is going to be great, or do you need it? But it's so far-reaching now, the types of products and things that are being touched by the digital consciousness. I say it that way because you see things differently with zeros, with just zeros and ones and the whole idea. This, here it is. Riddable luggage. There is now riddable luggage. Unzip the handlebars and pop out the foot pegs. And this 1,495 carry-on suitcase becomes a small electric motorcycle you can ride all the way to gate 27. Okay, check it out. I said ridable. It's, the word is rideable. I've never seen rideable. Like, and it's R-I-D. It looks like ridable. It's luggage you can ride. They're calling this stupid. Okay. It's luggage you can ride. It says here, your luggage, for $1,495, your luggage turns into a little go-kart. It turns into a little motorcycle. An hour of charging gets you a 6 to 8 mile range and speeds of 5 to 8 miles an hour, depending on how much you packed and your body weight. Sounds fun, and it is, but it's also ridiculous. Like something Kim Jong-un would ride if he didn't already have people forced to carry him. They're trying to be funny. Here again on Popular Mechanics. So it's stupid. It says, it's also ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. The tiny pegs barely keep your feet off the floor, so you have to hope you don't ride over anything that could snag a heel. Plus, your eyes are at approximately navel height, which makes it tough to see in anything less than a wide open terminal. Okay, so there you go, though. They said it's stupid. And then being honest with you about it's, you know what I'm going to do? Every once in a while, I'll do this. I'll do a Popular Mechanics show based on Popular Mechanics. They're not going to pay me for anything. That's not an advertisement. But the subjects in here are going to be ever-changing. There's going to be stupid and amazing things, and there's going to be other products that you need to know. So if I'm the creator, and I am the originator of the idea of the Hallelujah Trail, I should be able to present to you certain things that you can look at further. You could go to your Bling or your Google or your Yahoo, whatever, and start searching out these things. And see what is going on. Being up to date with how this world of ours is changing based on math, based on digital technology, based on where we're at right now, my friends. 3D printed food. You heard about 3D printed things. I don't even understand that totally. You could print, because I use the word print. This is stuff we can look at together. You and I on this show, Cthulhu Chronicles, which we hope will continue, because we hope I will live to continue to do it and be here every Thursday night to do it one way or another, so we can keep up to date. And so you can hear it on any number of stations again after it's live. All you have to do is go to CthulhuChronicles.blogspot.com, and there you will find on the bottom of each entry stations. Or you could just Google Cthulhu Chronicles, and you'll probably get a list of many stations. Just keep going. There's a lot of Cthulhu entries and stuff there. And find stations. Like stations like True Talk Radio. Twice a day, this show runs on that wonderful station, True Talk Radio. And there's other ones, too, where it runs once a week, or happening, if I could do. But here, you've heard about 3D printed objects. And I, like I said, I don't entirely understand this, but look, here's this right here. 3D printed food. What do they call this? Stupid or amazing? It's amazing! It's amazing! 3D printed food. You could print food you can eat. Remember what I said. And remember what I'm telling you here. I'm as amazed as you. You may be more amazed than I, or less. But this is what's going on. This is what's happening. How it works. You will learn how it works. Imagine how smart-er, because you might be smart. I hope you're smart. If you're listening to here, you're smart. We don't have dumb people listen to this. That's for sure. One way or another. We might not agree with a lot of things, but you're not dumb if you listen to this. I'm dumber than you, than my audience. Okay. How it works. So you imagine how smarter you will assume you will sound and be, what have you, if you are, if you know this stuff. And you never know when somebody's going to try to fool you or screw around with you about a product or try to sell you something, and you're going to know it's garbage. You're going to go, oh yeah, well, how about this? See? And then we could develop nutrition trackers, nutrition trackers, and print personalized breakfast bars tailored to our exact nutrition needs. All right? Here's another amazing three. A 360-degree camera. Now, you all have cameras, and you know how that's changed, that technology, because you have your smartphones. And your smartphones are also cameras, and very smart cameras, and they're digital cameras. So not only don't you have to go and get developed or send them anywhere, do it, you get it right there, but the picture's better than almost anything you've... Well, here's a 360-degree camera. Yes, and it's now becoming, it's dropped to prices that are, you know, that are affordable. $300? The only real issue is editing. Okay, fine, but you could learn that about that too. I'm running out of time to tell you more of this as we are, but there is more, and we will, okay, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to put a place in that. So we know where we left off. My name is Frank Cthulhu. The man whose name adorns the title of this show. And this show is Cthulhu Chronicles. And it is now winding down to the end of it for this particular week. We'll be back on the December, for all of November to Y2K plus 16. It's over. Done. We're going to come back to this show in December. And it's going to be great. I'm going to come back on December 1st. And then the week after that, December 8th, we'll be on my special birthday show with guest stars live and some of them in person here. Am I supposed to be hitting this right now? I think so. I think so. Yes, I am. Because we're moving right along to the end of this. And that means a theme. Wake up, it's night, everyone, and thank you very much for spending time. I hope you have, if you had a whole big meal, I hope you've digested. If you're in a time zone where you're ready to have that, that extra, you know, you've already digested, you can have that big turkey sandwich or other, more pie or something, then enjoy it and be good to yourselves and to others, or do whatever it is you have to do to be good to yourself and others. Keep it in mind, you're on the Hallelujah Trail, my friends, and there's no, don't try to walk backwards. My name is Frank Cthulhu, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. Go buy the books. Go do what you gotta do. Read. Keep your mind neutralized. No, neutral. What am I trying to say? Nutritionalized? Hey, to heck with it. You could already tell that I leave you now because, why, everyone? I have nothing more to say.